Let's read together Leviticus chapter 3. In this third chapter of Leviticus, we have a description and details concerning the peace offering. Leviticus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. When his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering an offering made by fire to the Lord. The fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove. And Aaron's sons shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood that is on the fire, as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. If his offering as a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord is of the flock, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offers a lamb as his offering, then he shall offer it before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's son shall sprinkle its blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice of the peace offering as an offering made by fire to the Lord, its fat and the whole fat tail, which he shall remove to the backbone, and the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And if his offering is a goat, he shall offer it before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on his head and kill it before the tabernacle of meeting. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle his blood all around on the altar. Then he shall offer from it his offering as an offering made by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as food, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma. All the fat is the Lord's. This shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations, in all your dwellings. You shall eat neither fat nor blood. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Leviticus chapter 3, with some background notes. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 says that God is love. This great truth is not immediately evident to us when we read through the book of Leviticus, is it? All the legal details about the sacrifices and special days and clean and unclean foods don't seem to emphasize the love of God. But we know that this is not the whole story. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 says, "It is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." Now, where is that written? The scripture is quoted from the book of Leviticus. 1 Peter 1:16 is quoted from the book of Leviticus. In fact, it is written three times in the book of Leviticus, in Leviticus chapter 11, chapter 19, and chapter 20. The point is that God is not only a God of love, but he is also a God of holiness. He cannot sweep sin under the rug. There must be atonement for sin. The righteousness of God must be satisfied. The good news is that when the Lord Jesus went to the cross and died, atonement for sin was made and the penalty for sin was paid for. The wrath of God against sin was satisfied and the righteousness of God was maintained. Here in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, all the detailed laws about the sacrifices and special days and clean and unclean foods were designed not only to point forward to the coming Messiah, as we've seen, but to maintain fellowship between a holy God and his unholy people. So the truth that God is love is not absent from Leviticus. He wanted to have fellowship with his people and provided a way where their sins would be covered until the coming of the Messiah. All the people had to do was believe the Lord and show forth their faith by having a heart to obey his laws, including the detailed laws of Leviticus. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for Leviticus chapter 3. So doctrinal point number one, the peace offering was the only offering in which the worshiper shared. The peace offering was the only offering in which the worshiper shared. We see from verse 16 that the peace offering, like the burnt offering and the grain offering, was also a sweet-smelling or soothing aroma sacrifice. The peace offering was a voluntary offering and conveyed the idea of fellowship and peace between the Lord and the worshiper. We learn from Leviticus chapter 7 that the peace offering was brought to the Lord for three different occasions. Number one, for an unexpected blessing. Number two, in connection with a vow made before the Lord. And number three, for general thankfulness. Read Leviticus chapter 7 in this connection. Now we see from verses 1, 6, and 12 of Leviticus chapter 3 that the peace offering could be a male or female animal as long as it was without defect or without blemish. As in the burnt offering, when the worshipers laid their hands on the sacrifices as the animals were slain, and then the blood sprinkled around the altar, it emphasized identification of the worshiper with the sacrifice and the substitution of the sacrifice for the worshiper. Now, as we look at the further details of the peace offering, we see that all of the sacrifice was not consumed on the altar as in the case of the burnt offering. In fact, we learn from Leviticus chapter 7 that not only the priests shared in partaking of this offering, but the worshiper as well. I'm reading Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 15. The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 15. The participation of the worshiper in partaking of the parts that were not consumed on the altar became an occasion for a communal or fellowship meal in which the worshiper could have his family and friends join him. So the peace offering became a time of thankfulness and happy fellowship, something like our Thanksgiving. The peace offering was the only offering in which the worshiper shared. Doctrinal point number two. The peace offering is a spiritual picture of the sacrifice of Christ, the basis of our peace with God. The peace offering is a spiritual picture of the sacrifice of Christ, the basis of our peace with God. In the peace offering, Christ is seen as the basis and foundation of the believer's peace and fellowship with God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17, "And he came," that is Christ the Messiah, "came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. Without the sacrifice of Christ, there would be no peace between us and God. But the Lord Jesus made peace through the blood of his cross. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. We are no longer alienated and hostile. Colossians 1, 21. But we are now reconciled to God. Colossians 1, 22. Let's read these verses. I'm reading from Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. "For it pleased the Father that in him, that is in Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." From Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. The fact that both the worshiper and the priest shared in this offering, according to Leviticus chapter 7, emphasizes the truth that Christ is our peace. As believer priests today, we have our portion in Christ, and it is in him alone that we have peace and fellowship with God. Now, another interesting feature of the peace offering, which portrays our fellowship with God, is the type of cakes or bread that were offered along with this sacrifice. The peace offering was unique in that leavened bread was allowed to be used according to Leviticus chapter 7, verse 13. The truth pictured here is that we who are sinners, represented by the leavened bread, can have fellowship with the Holy God. We are forgiven sinners, but we still sin and are not holy yet. You understand that throughout Scripture, leaven is a symbol or a type of evil. So the truth pictured here in the peace offering, where leaven was allowed in the cakes that were offered along with the peace offering, the truth pictured here is that we who are sinners, represented by the leavened bread, can have fellowship with the Holy God. We are forgiven sinners, but we still sin because we're not holy yet. But we can rejoice because even though we still sin and struggle with sin, we can have fellowship with God who is holy. Because of the sacrifice of Christ, we are not only at peace with God, but at peace with one another. We read in Ephesians chapter 2 that Christ himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. The dividing wall spoken of here in Ephesians chapter 2 represents the Mosaic law and all of the associated obstacles to fellowship between Jews and Gentiles. All barriers to peace and fellowship for all believers have been removed in the cross of Christ. Again, we mentioned that this great truth is portrayed in the peace offering by the fact that the worshiper and his friends could eat a part of the sacrifice that was not consumed on the altar. When an individual brought the peace offering as a voluntary offering of thanksgiving, it was a time of great joy and happiness for that individual and for those who participated with that individual in the eating of the sacrifice. A wonderful time of fellowship and certainly a picture of the fellowship that we enjoy in Christ, the fellowship that we enjoy together with one another because of Christ. The sacrifice was obviously the basis of their fellowship and a spiritual picture of the happy unity that should exist between believers because of Christ. The peace offering is a spiritual picture of Christ, the basis of our peace with God. And now for practical application from Leviticus chapter 3. Give your fat to the Lord. Give your fat to the Lord. Now, where do we get that practical application from Leviticus chapter 3? We get it from the end of verse 16. All the fat is the Lord's. Now, don't pull this scripture out of context and use it as a justification for being way overweight, because after all the fat is the Lord's. No, that would be bad hermeneutics. And this scripture is not a proof text to go on a diet and give your fat to the Lord. No, in context, the idea is to give your best to the Lord. In that culture, the fatty portions, which are detailed here in this chapter about the peace offering, and were to be consumed on the altar, were considered the best part of the offering. The practical application is obvious. Let's give our best to the Lord. Give your fat to the Lord.